On today's episode of TASVOcast, we welcome Dr. Stevie Dawn Carter. She's the CEO and founder of Stevie Dawn Inspires, which is dedicated to helping people find, reignite, and chase their joy both at work and at home. She was so entertaining at the TASBO School Operations Conference this fall that we invited her to speak again, this time at our TASBO Engage Conference coming up. Her breakout learning session is titled Emotional Resilience and Success. Joining Stevie today is TASBO Chief Learning Officer Jason W. Meek and myself, your host, Tom Greer. Let's get started. Okay, on TASBOcast, we usually kick off with an icebreaker. I know last episode, the icebreaker was bad predictions. And back in the day, I predicted the internet was just not going to be a thing. When I first used the World Wide Web, it just did not impress me. So I didn't think that was going to take off. But to lead us in the icebreaker this week, I'm going to turn it over to our guest, Dr. Stevie Dawn Carter.
Hey, well, thanks for that. Yeah, what a prediction you made or didn't make correctly on that one. Anyway, so today what I thought for our icebreaker is we would play a little game called Yes And. Now, Yes And, for anybody who hasn't heard it before, it's an improv comedy technique. The idea being that in improv comedy, you never want the conversation to end. If the conversation ends, then there's dead air and nobody's laughing, and that's not a good show. So when we look at communication, we look at it from the terms of, so often on our communication, we're so focused on getting to the next item on the agenda that we forget to really validate somebody and what they're doing, what they're saying before we move to the next point. And so Yes And is a great activity. It's a great icebreaker just to get people used to talking and communicating in a very different way.
Excuse me, it's to help you become a better active listener, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Because in order for you to add on something, which is the and, you have to have fully heard what the person in front of you said. So like, if you think about it, like when we were kids and we played the game of telephone, and by the end of the telephone, the message was nothing like how it started in the beginning. That's because we didn't have the active listening component. And so Yes And helps us to really focus that effort and make sure that we're actively listening to the person in front of us before we talk. So I think it'll be a great activity. And I think, Jason, you've used this before, right? You've done some work with Yes And in your world.
Yes. I found it helpful to use that when I'm facilitating a training experience or a workshop, when you get responses from the audience. For the longest time, I had a difficulty, you know, being on the spot and how do I respond to these while, you know, validating the person's idea, even if it wasn't necessarily on point. I wanted to give an affirmative way to respond. And when I went through, and got exposed to this Yes And strategy, I've been using that whenever I respond to training participants when they suggest an idea or a best practice. I like to, you know, validate with the yes and expound upon it with the and.
Yeah, awesome. So I think it'll be fun if I just let you two have this conversation. Tom, I'm going to ask you to start. So you get to say the first comment and ask the first question. But Jason, you will need to respond with yes and give something back. And then Tom, you'll continue it. And I'd like to see if we could go three or four rounds of this with yes and. So you got to be on top of it.
Sounds like fun.
Okay, Tom, you're up.
I'm just saying anything.
You can say anything. I mean, I like to start with something easy, like what did you do last weekend? Or, you know, how is your spring going so far? It's not really okay. Spring yet, winter, but you know what I mean.
So how was your weekend?
It was great, Tom. Thank you. I truly enjoyed Matthew Stafford, a former Detroit Lion, getting the W this weekend, even though it's not for my team. At least he's experiencing some success as a Texan in the NFL.
And what's your favorite team in the NFL?
The Detroit Lions. Unfortunately, it's been a pretty miserable choice in my life.
Okay. And Jason, how do you add on to that to give him something to respond to?
Yes. And Tom, what is your favorite team?
Well, in the pros, I no longer have a favorite team because the Houston Oilers moved and the Washington football team has not been great for years. And also they changed their name. Is there a college football team that you like?
Yes, I do root for the New Mexico Lobos. Also a team of not much significance, especially in the realm of college football. How about you, Tom?
You know, I'm a big Texas Longhorns fan. I've lived in Austin for all these years. Have you always lived in Austin, or where did you live before?
Yes, I've not lived in Austin for very long.
Yes, or yes, when the answer is no.
you led me astray there, Tom. But yes, I've lived in Austin for 6 years now since I took this job with TASBO. Prior to that, I was in Frisco for about 11 years as one of the fastest growing school districts there for that span. And prior to that, was in Albuquerque for 13 years going to university. And how about you, Tom?
Prior to living in Austin, I grew up in San Antonio. I've lived in Texas most of my life. I was actually born in Alaska. Have you ever been outside of the continental United States? I didn't want to ask where you're born because I was thinking about it. It's like maybe that's personal information that we don't want to share in the public domain.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop you here for the sake of time, right? So now here's the real trick. Both of you right now, sheet of paper and a pen. Get it out in front of you right now. This is a pop quiz, y'all, that they didn't know they were going to have. Sheet of paper and a pen. What I want you to write down is as much as you can remember about what the other person said. Okay. As much as you can remember about what the other person said. To remind you, we started with professional football. Mm-hmm. We did some college. We changed it up and went into where we live. But it all started with the question about what we did on the weekend. So I'm not going to interview you and pop quiz you to see how many of these you get right. But I for myself, because I can see you both on video, hold up your list so I can tell the audience you did your pop quiz correctly. Okay, hold up your list to the camera. There we go. We got San Antonio, Houston, Longhorns. We got Lions fan, Lobos fan, Frisco. Okay, cool. Awesome. Nice. Right. So one of the things we want to think about with this idea of yes, and is not only are we trying to build on what somebody else said and trying to stay relevant and present in the conversation, but we also then need to try and remember what was said. So sometimes I think when we use this tool, we can get, especially you get into situations where people are just looking for anything to talk about. So it gets really big and really out there. And then it gets harder to remember because things that are more natural and more easy are going to be more frequent in our minds. So making sure when you use this tool that you always think about, okay, but can I remember the things that were said? Because just building on somebody's information isn't helpful if you can't remember where you started.
Absolutely. And it's intentional listening for that. And in emerging leaders and other leadership training that I've done, the opposite of that is those that are just listening for their opportunity to speak instead of, you know, to engage and give more meaning or context to that conversation, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, when we think about responding to somebody in a positive way, right? That idea of let me validate that I listened and I heard what they said and I'm answering the question asked, not the question I wish they would have asked, which is a very different thing. But to me, that is a big part of kind of this whole spectrum of communication and leadership and listening and emotional intelligence and resilience, because all of this validating somebody is how we get to bounce back, right? It's how we get to the next thing. That validation is our bridge. And so as I talk a lot about emotional resilience, right, resilience is about building those bridges. And so validation in conversation is one of the number one skills we can talk about in emotional resilience.
And on that topic of emotional resilience, Your TASBO Engage learning session, breakout session is going to be titled, or is titled, Emotional Resilience and Success. Even though that's the published title, you and I know there's an alternate title for this session that we've talked about in the past. So do you mind sharing that alternate title and maybe tease out the story a little bit, the experience that inspired that session?
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe the title we talked about was What I Learned Hanging Off the Side of a Cliff, right? A little bit of backstory. When I was 18, I joined the United States Marine Corps. And in that process...
Right? That's... I did it right?
Yeah.
Is that that?
There okay. It is. That was all it. Right. You were on it. As part of the training process at OCS, Officer Candidate School, we had to do some rappelling down cliffs, out of helicopters, all these things. And one of the things that I struggled with a lot back in the day, and probably is why I talk about it for a living now, is resilience and positivity, right? I'm a really positive person now, but that is not who I was. In the beginning of my earlier years. And so I remember hanging off the side of this cliff, and I'm at that like halfway point, right? Where I've already come down, right? So I got the action of going down, but now I've hit a place where my fear caught up to me. And now I'm like, okay, I'm equal distance to going back up to the top of the cliff or continuing down, which looks incredibly scary at this moment.
Are you trained not to look down, though?
Yeah, you're trained to look at the wall, but I'm not always do what I'm told. So I'm looking down and freaking out, which is why they tell you not to look down. But I remember sitting there going, what are my options? And here's where I had a really important epiphany. My brain will always give me the worst possible option. Right? Well, you could just fall down and crack your neck. Like that is an option of what could happen in this moment. And my brain automatically starts going all these negative things. And I had an instructor, right, with me, who obviously sees that I'm stuck and comes down and in a very not nice way, but I will make it nicer because I don't want us to get in trouble. But in a very not nice way, basically says, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on what you can't do, or are you focusing on what you can do? And it was that moment that I really realized it's my brain telling me all the negative that I need to shift. And once I shifted into, I've already gotten halfway down, why don't I just finish it? I totally rappelled the rest of the way down. And now rappelling is something I actually enjoy. As like when somebody goes, hey, let's go and let's rappel down this. I'm like, I'm on it. Now, mountain climbing up, not so great. Rappelling down, mm-hmm. I love. but I think it all comes to that, to me, that's emotional resilience. Being able to see and feel that stuck place and going, okay, but let me switch it around to something more positive, right? To focusing on something that allows me to bounce back, to become resilient after being stuck. And so while that is kind of where I started looking into resilience and started realizing how resilient people can be, my life has continued to be like story after story of resilience in my life and my family's life. And I think what makes the topic so important is because all of us are going through a lot. And it's about, are you going to focus on all the things that have happened that aren't great? Are you going to start focusing on the things that are positive to allow you to have a better emotional spirit as you go into your workday? So I'm super excited for that session, but that is the story that started it.
And I love that you bring it up in that way too, Stevie, is that we've talked and I've heard you present before is just like, sometimes those voices in your head or what you're telling yourself isn't that positive, confident message. And how do you recognize those triggers and turn that, you know, that internal dialogue into something that is positive, that will drive you forward. One of the things I like to tell that I learned from you when I do Orange Frog, the Happiness Advantage workshops, whether it's the full day or the 1 hour session, I like to tell the story that you told me a long time ago about how you use pulse checks with your teams and in meetings. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that and how you use that for the benefit of your groups?
Absolutely. This is another great little icebreaker we can do, the three of us. Really simple. So if I were to ask you right now, scale of 1 to 10, how you're feeling today, with a 10 being today is the most amazing day ever, Stevie Don, I'm getting to talk to you and it's beautiful and brilliant and wonderful. 1 being, you know what, honestly, I just want to go to bed and get up and have it be tomorrow because I'm kind of already over it, right? I know it's a Monday that we're recording this, so there could be just some Monday in that, but you're somewhere between a 1 and a 10. Tom, what's your number for today?
It was going to be an 8, but because it's a Monday, I'm going to go with a 7.
I think that's a solid Monday score, Tom. That's awesome. Jason, what would your number be?
I would start at 7, yeah, with the Monday, but I would say, you know, since I am getting this opportunity to speak with you today, it's a solid 8, 8.5. You know, it's a strong Monday.
Way to go.
I love it. Okay. And I am feeling probably, sorry to you both, I'm feeling probably about a 6, but that's because I've had a migraine most of the day.
Oh no.
So we're going to give me some pass on that. So here's what that does, right? That number, that's your number for where you're at right now. It's a snapshot in time. And the purpose of that number is for you to become aware of how you're feeling, because how you're feeling impacts everything in your day. That number corresponds to how you listen, how successful you are at writing that email you don't want to write, how successful you are at doing that data project in Excel. The better a day you're having, the easier everything else at work is. And even everything in personal life as well. So why we use the pulse check, and why it's so great, Jason, that you use it at the beginning of a session, is I always use it with my team to say, hey, how are you doing today? And it's just a way, without a lot of explanation, right? We all kind of explained ours, but you don't have to. It's a way to get a feeling of how is everybody feeling in the room? And then especially for leaders, then you get to adjust based on those numbers. So I will tell you, I've gone to present at sessions and I'll start with the question, where are we at? Pulse check. And when everybody's feeling about a 4 or 5, I have to shift my presentation. I have to be the positivity and the energy that they don't have. When everybody's feeling an 8 or a 9, we're just rolling and it's laughter and it's high paced because everybody's in a good place. So starting with a pulse check is a way to get not only self-aware, but to get other aware so that we know how everybody's feeling. And then we can adjust our communication, our conversation, and our day around those numbers. But what's so important, right, is it's a snapshot, which means we can do things throughout the day to raise that number. So it doesn't have to be with you the whole day. You can wake up feeling a 6 and you can end it feeling a 10. It's just about what do you focus on and what do you put in your life to help you have a more positive message.
And I love that just the intentional just evaluation of that on the regular is a good exercise in my mind, just to simply, you know, how am I showing up and what is my average, and is there things that I could do to, you know, to strengthen that average as well. So I really appreciate that. It's been impactful in many different ways. And so I've hung on to that story way back from 2018 when you first spoke with us. You may recall in 2018, that was the first time we had you speak at a TASBO event. It was in Allen at the Payroll and Personnel Academy. And so it was the topic of collaborative communication. And that event brings the payroll departments and personnel departments together. In smaller districts, I'm sure they, you know, tend to wear the, you know, same people or person wears the same hat for both departments. But as school districts get bigger, they tend to silo and have different specializations over those. And in my experience in the past, there's been at least one situation where they were adversarial to a certain degree. And I just really wanted to bring you in as a speaker that could talk about, you know, breaking down those silos and communicating better. And working together as a team. And it's just been a great experience just getting to know you and have you present at our events. You presented this fall at our Payroll Personnel Academy again on emotionally intelligent communication. And also just did an amazing job at our operations conference. So I just really enjoyed hearing you speak and having you engaged with TASBO and with our members. So with those few opportunities to speak to our audience, what have you learned about our members and you know what insights or advice would you have for them around this emotional resilience and success and just what we've been dealing with lately?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, it has been an honor speaking to all the different TASPO groups. And I always come away with two things anytime I'm at a TASPO event. Number one, everybody is nice and friendly and welcoming. And I will tell you that as a speaker who travels the world doing this, that is not always the case. So TASPO is warm and welcoming and friendly, and I love that. The second thing that I love about TASPO is that when people come to a session, they are actually there to learn and have something to take away. There's an engagement level at TASPO, which I personally really appreciate. And I know like the theme for this year is engage. So it is good, but you're speaking to the right group. I feel like every time I speak at TASPO, I come away with ideas for future sessions because somebody in the audience engaged me with a question that I hadn't heard before. And so I really appreciate that as a presenter. That makes my life easier and better. But I also think it says a lot about the people who are working in these school districts day in and day out. And there's a quote that has been sticking with me since 2020 that I continue to share. So I apologize if it's been stated before. But we are all in the same storm. We are not in the same boat. Schools have been in a different boat over the last couple of years, and what the districts have had to deal with, I cannot even imagine. And so being able to have these events where these business professionals come together and have this conversation about what we're doing in our districts, what we're doing in our schools, how do we make this easier and better, and all of those things, it's about saying, hey, the person next to me is in the same boat and they understand. And I think that that's a platform that TASPO has given people, which is really remarkable. So I really enjoy it. And any insight I get out of TASPO is just that they're awesome people who do great work and engage in their learning, which I think is perfect.
I really appreciate having you. And there's been a few times where I've been approached to, you know, give a speaker recommendation when I consult with them and ask what they're looking for and what they're, you know, what they're hoping to get out of a speaker. And if it falls in this realm, then I immediately respond with a recommendation that, you know, I tell them straight up, Stevie Don, she's a badass. She always brings great energy. She has an infectious smile. She's a true professional speaker. She consistently delivers a timely message that hits home and inspires action. So you can't go wrong. And so I am really looking forward to seeing you at conference and hearing about this emotional resilience and success or what you learned hanging off a cliff, right?
Absolutely.
So Stevie, I see that you're going to be at our conference Thursday, March 3rd, starting in the morning, 9 a.m. Was that purposeful, Jason? Stevie, were you guys like, oh, we got to get her first thing on the Thursday morning, day four of the conference?
That's right, because we have such great energy on Wednesday and to just keep it going on Thursday morning with an awesome session. To kick it off, I think was strategic, and we're very happy to kick off Thursday with Stevie Don.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm excited for Thursday. I'm excited for the event. It's also in March, which is my birthday month, which means we'll just celebrate the entire time anyway. So I also look forward to that. But it's going to be a great session. And I think just the ability to really talk about how do we keep bouncing back and how do we keep getting stronger emotionally as much as we do mentally and physically is really important. So I'm excited to be there. And I personally, Tom, love to be first in the morning because I feel like it allows me, there's been nobody before me. I am the thing they start with. That just makes me feel good. And I am a morning person. So I have the most energy possible early in the morning. Once you get me to like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Now we're starting to need the coffee in order to make it happen. So I'm really excited to be there first thing in the morning.
Okay. So if somebody can't make the session, where should they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to www.drstevedon.com, that's where you can find everything. I would invite you to join our email list. I do a ton of free trainings on all kinds of stuff and webinars, and would love to have people join in that. And I do have my new book coming out February 8th.
Oh, wow.
It is called Always Be the Shark. And so I'm super excited for that. So if anybody wants to check that out, there's information on the website for that too.
That's great. And you're from Fort Worth. So you're just down the road from where our conference is.
I am. So it's nice for me. I get to travel, but not that far. I don't have to worry about an airplane, which is always nice. And yeah, I'm just south of Fort Worth in Mansfield, Texas.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to seeing you. Any final thoughts, Jason, Stevie?
Not on my end, but it's been great to get to know you over the last few years and very excited to have you as part of this annual conference, and really enjoyed my opportunity to visit with you today.
Welcome to TASBOcast, the official podcast of the Texas Association of School Business Officials. We are the trusted resource for school finance and operations.